see in our readings today an inability to recognize God's presence around us. You're likely thinking about our Pentecost story, as the crowds see amazing signs of tongues and fire and hear each person speaking about God's deeds of power in their own language. And some say that they are filled with new wine, trying to write us off as if God isn't up to something here. It seems obvious to us, God's doing something, and yet there are people who struggle to see this. And yes, of course, this is certainly an example of a time when people are missing God's presence in their midst. We also see this on display in our gospel story. Jesus marvels that Philip can ask, likely on behalf of the whole group, to see the Father. Jesus has consistently told them that the Father and he are one. If they have seen him, they have seen the Father too. If they have been near to him, they have been near to God at work in the world. So we see that it is not just the amazed and perplexed crowd members who fail to see God at work in the world. Even those who have been walking around with Jesus, this very word of God made flesh, for years, still have a hard time seeing the fullness of God's presence in Christ. We remember this, of course, not to think less of the disciples, but to acknowledge the ways in which we have a hard time discerning the fullness of God's presence. If those who had walked next to Jesus, seeing all he did and hearing all he taught, couldn't get this right away, then we know that we would not have gotten it ourselves either, and we still have difficulty recognizing God's work among us. We still find it easy to miss God's presence. And it's this reality, I think, that often leads us to fear. When we can't know the nearness of God and the fullness of God's power and presence in our lives, we are very tempted to be afraid when we see challenges and difficulties around us. Of course, we have talked about this already in relation to Jesus' words, as he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Unsure of God's presence and what God is up to, we can fall back into this fear. Jesus tries to warn the disciples about this ahead of time so that they are not gripped by fear in this way, but we know they will have a hard time with it nonetheless, just as we do. And this is the same message that Paul shares with us today. He tells us we are not to fall back into fear. This fear ensnares us. It makes it all the more difficult to recognize God's presence among us. This fear disrupts our thinking and how we relate to one another. This fear can cause us to try to take the reins, to solve everything on our own, unsure if God is really around to be in control. Therefore, we must be in control. On the flip side, this fear can cause us to disengage altogether, certain that we are insufficient for any task that lies before us. We don't want to try because we are so certain we will fail. In short, what we see is our fear is that fear stunts our ability to grow in our own activity, but also to grow in our faith and trust that God is the one who is really in control. And through this, we shrink back from relationship with God and with others. At times, we even shrink back from relationship with ourselves. In such times of fear, we likely wish for Jesus to fulfill whatever desire we have to address the challenge that is before us. We begin asking for things in Jesus' name and wonder why Jesus isn't fulfilling this promise, why all the things that we would ask for aren't being done. We did it in Jesus' name, after all. I think in such times our fear blinds us from seeing how our spirit has been enslaved, and how we are limited from following Christ's commands to love one another. We know that this is not sustainable. We know that we need to recognize God's presence, to live in love with God and with one another, to know the unity that Christ asked us to receive last week. This is what we need. The challenge is we are not sure how to get it. This is because we cannot attain such a way of being, such a state of mind on our own. We need the gift of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. We have already heard how this Advocate will help us remember all that Jesus has said to us. The Holy Spirit sets us free from the spirit of slavery to fear and instead anchors us in our true identity as children of God. We know that God has adopted us in Christ, and we can cry out to God as our dear parent, saying, "Abba, Father." Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we recognize God's nearness, power, and presence. through the Holy Spirit, we can see Jesus accurately and know that as we encounter any of these persons of the Trinity, we encounter God fully and completely. Through this Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of Christ, we are invited to let go of the fear that has gripped us so tightly. We are given new hearts and right spirits through this gift, and our perspectives are changed. We are confident in God's presence, just as those who were filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost were confident in God's presence. We are reminded of Jesus' words and see them fulfilled. This is the same thing Peter shares with the crowd. Don't you all remember the words of the prophet Joel? This is what is coming to pass now. We have this same notion when we are filled with the Spirit. We too point out what Christ has said to us before. And it is so anchored to God's presence through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can even remember the Lord's command to us to love one another as Christ has loved us. It is only anchored to God by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can see accurately God's great and amazing love for us, and seek in turn to celebrate and share that same love with others. It is from this perspective, anchored by the Spirit to God and to understand this love of God for ourselves and seek to share it with others, that finally allows us to ask for anything in Christ's name. Before united to Christ through the Holy Spirit, and encountering the love of God that is poured into our hearts by that same Spirit, we know then what we should ask for. We know then what Christ would ask for. And in those moments, we will ask for the same things. And recognizing this, that we are asking for what Jesus himself would ask for, we also must recognize that whatever these may be, Christ has likely already been at work upon them. Jesus is going to do the things that Jesus once done and would ask for. And now we will be open to see both how God has already taken steps to address whatever we are asking for now, how whenever we can finally realize what are those things that Christ has put on our hearts and in our lives, and say, we're not even at the beginning. God's already laid the foundation. God's already been at work. Now, how may we participate in what God is doing? We recognize today in the giving of the Holy Spirit that one of the things God is doing is continuing to extend that open invitation to all to know God's light and love. The message of God's deeds of power is proclaimed to all in their own language. God is finding ways through the disciples and the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to each person in ways that they can understand so that they too can recognize God's presence. We who have been filled with the Holy Spirit and the waters of baptism are invited to continue to speak in this same way. As we would extend invitations to others to know God's presence, to encounter the gift of the Holy Spirit that sets us free and helps us recognize that we are children of God, we are to do so in ways that others can recognize, using their language and not our own. This, of course, is a tall order. We are not always sure what the language of others may be. And we do not always have such strong guidance from the Holy Spirit as the apostles and believers had today in our reading from Acts. Nevertheless, we are to be attuned to both the Holy Spirit working within us, binding us to God and to each other, and the needs of those around us as we seek to help them recognize God's deeds of power in their life. Thankfully, God gives us a gift to help with this way of being and relating that is beyond us. God shares with us the gift of this meal, where through the power of the Holy Spirit, we recognize the fullness of God's presence. Christ is here in bread and wine, body and blood. Seeing Christ, we know that we also see the Father. In this meal, we are invited once more to take Christ into us and remember how Christ has taken us into the household of God. As we receive this gift of grace, a gift that is open for all to receive, we are sent out to celebrate and share this love, helping all to hear of God's goodness, God's mercy, and the life God has won for them in Christ. We are to help all to hear that the Holy Spirit can set us free from those spirits of slavery that focus on fear. And for this good news of God's continued presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can only say, thanks be to God. Amen.